Spring into deals for seasonal savings. Shop select 1-pint annuals for just $1. Plus, get a free additional Cobalt 40-volt 2-amp-hour battery when you buy select Cobalt 40-volt trimmer and blower combo kit. Our best lineup is here at Lowe's. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid at 5-6. Annuals offer excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
Visit your nearby Lowe's on Silver Drive in Columbus.
John Daly here. You know what day it is? Neither do I. I live life daily. That's why I only spend on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily. And the best part? Guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto, America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Stories online.
When you sign up to be an EPP, extra podcast person to Real Ghost Stories Online, you'll have access to the best ghost stories we've ever told.
The oven doors started slamming open and closed. And in places like this, oven doors take up entire walls.
Never before had I seen such clear evidence of something non-human being in a room with me.
Because it felt like somebody was here. You know, you see, I did it written in paint, where you just painted.
These are stories only EPP members have access to.
I don't know why, but I just wonder if that scream isn't a family member that was there to claim their loved one.
There was like something standing there right in the threshold of the doorway, and I was paralyzed. I couldn't breathe.
It's only $5 a month when you sign up at realghoststoriesonline.com by clicking Become an EPP.
There was an old lady standing at the foot of the bed, and she said she could see details and everything. You know, it just looked like an old lady standing at the foot of the bed.
You'll get access to the best ghost stories and exclusive video content we've ever created.
I have no doubt in my mind that it was completely supernatural.
But it felt like it was in my head. Like, it didn't feel like I was hearing it. It felt like it was in my head.
Become an EPP now and help keep our show on the air. At realghoststoriesonline.com, click Become an EPP.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is. And on today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, your calls at 855-853-4802, and also some of those audio emails that have been sent in over to Jenny, J-E-N-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. That's a great way to send a story. If you want to share it yourself and don't want to do it over the phone, do it on your smartphone. You just record the audio and then email that M4A or MP3 or whatever format it is right there. And then we can play it back here on the show. Tony and Jenny Brewski joining you once again.
Hi.
And how are you this fine day?
I'm good. How are you?
I am doing well. I'm excited for some of these stories. An interesting title on today's episode, Field of Fears.
Yes.
Okay. It's funny, I was actually earlier today working on a haunted house thing with that same name.
Really?
Or Field of...
Field of Screams?
Fears was in it. I'm trying to think if it was like Fields of Fear or Field of Fears. It was something of that nature.
How weird.
So, so anyway, interesting stuff. And there's probably like 500 of them around the country, but this one was in Indiana. So, I don't know.
Okay.
Creepy stuff. Let's go to our first caller today at Real Ghost Stories Online and get right into our ghost stories. This one comes into us from the state that we are in. It's a caller from Missouri. Hi, you're on the air.
Hey, Tony and Jenny. This is Jim calling from Rolla, Missouri. We're about 100 miles to the east of you. So welcome to Missouri. Hope you guys are enjoying it. Real quick, message to Tony. I know you say you're a fan of Taco John's and their apple dessert with cheese. It sounds really odd to me. But just so you know, it's about 50 miles to your east in Lebanon, Missouri. There is a Taco John's. So if you want to make the trip there. So I do have a couple of stories, but I'll just stick with the one today. My My girlfriend just graduated from nursing school last month and just started her new job at a local nursing home. And she was telling me, because she was a CNA beforehand at one point also, that when a resident passes away, one of the common things they do, it's sort of a tradition, is they'll crack a window, just crack it open, and supposedly that may let their spirit out or something. And it's more, like I said, a tradition than anything. Well, she had a nursing home here in Rolla, and I guess a resident had passed away recently, and they didn't crack the window, just forgot or whatever. And one of the CNAs was kind of freaking out, she said, about that they didn't do that. And well, it was a good week or two later. One of the nurses was sitting at the end of the hall charting on the computer and just, you know, focused on her work and everything. And she had heard that resident ask her, hey, Sue, what's the score? And she replied, and, you know, with the response. And then she kind of realized, wait a second, that's the resident that passed away. She said she was afraid to look up. She eventually did, and obviously there's nobody there. And so I thought that was really interesting. She freaked her out enough to where she won't sit at that end of that hall anymore. So it affected her pretty greatly. But I just kind of wanted to know what you guys thought about that, if that may be more of a resonant, like a resounding sound or whatever that you may call that, or if that may be the spirit that was unable to leave because of that window thing. I don't know if you've ever heard of that before. Also, apparently it's a well-known thing. I've never heard of it. But anyway, I just thought I'd share that with you. It's really interesting. I know, Tony, you mentioned that even for people that aren't sensitive, that if you pay attention, you'll start to notice things around you. My friend went to a local restaurant the other day, got a food order number, and it was 666. And it made me think of what you said about just how we're more, you know, we notice these things more if we pay attention. But anyway, I thought that was funny. Really enjoy your show. Keep up the great work. Welcome to Missouri, and I hope you enjoy it. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you for the call, and thank you for the Taco John's recommendation.
There you go. Now we got to go to Lebanon.
Well, the thing is, you have to find these locations that still have these, because a lot of them don't carry that anymore. I think we've gone to probably, I don't know, 4 or 5 Taco John's over the last how many years, just like when we're traveling.
And they don't have it.
Nobody has it.
Yeah.
But then every once in a while, someone will tweet me a picture of one. They're like, I found it. It's in Anchorage, Alaska. You know?
Right.
It's like somewhere like I probably will never be. But thank you. I will, if we're in that direction, I will definitely check that out. I love just the people looking out and the suggestions.
Sure.
And people paying attention. So thank you for that. What do you think of the story?
I have heard of that before, of the covering, well, opening windows, mm-hmm. or also covering mirrors, you know, things like that when people pass away to let the spirits hopefully move on to the other side.
Sure.
So I don't know the origin of it,
mm-hmm.
but I at least know that I've heard of it at least kind of in the South. I don't know if it's a Southern thing or if it's all over.
I know the covering of the mirrors is, I don't know if that's regional as well.
Mm-hmm.
I know it does originate with specific religions.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if it's just like, is it like an overall mirror thing in the South, or is it more the window thing? What are you referring to specifically?
The mirror thing.
Really?
Yeah.
So no matter what religion, that's what is done?
Not necessarily.
Just that's kind of just, whoever's...
It's And I don't know if it's more of an older tradition, mm-hmm. or if it's still done. It's just I have heard of it, and most of the time when I've heard of it, it's in reference to taking place in the South.
Okay.
So that doesn't mean that it doesn't happen all
sure.
over. It's
sure.
just I'm a fan of Southern literature, so that's mm-hmm. where my reference is.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, I don't know. It's interesting for it to be happening in like a medical setting.
Yes.
That's. But again, it's probably somewhat of a regional thing, mm-hmm. as well, where, you know, it's not really going to hurt anything if they're able to open the window or not. I'm just thinking of a lot of, what if this is something you really, you know, staunchly believe in happening, mm-hmm. which obviously I'm assuming the folks who went through this
yes.
are probably now staunch believers
yes.
in this phenomena, having experienced it firsthand. But then what if you're then at a new hospital or care facility and it's one where you can't open the windows?
Then,
because there's a lot of them that you just yeah. you can't open those windows.
Then I think you're just kind of stuck. But I thought it was interesting that the one time that she knew of mm-hmm. that they didn't do it,
yeah.
she heard that voice. And he alluded to whether or not it was a residual. Mm-hmm. And I'd say if that lady was like a diehard sports fan and was always asking what the score was, mm-hmm. then maybe it could be. But if that was just kind of a off the cuff, you know, random thing to ask, maybe it's not.
It seems more intelligent.
Yes.
It seems very much in tune with what was going on at that moment in time, which leads me to think it wasn't a...
Right.
Or less every day at the same time. What's the score? And you're not looking at scores, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah. I like to think that you don't necessarily need to have the window open to prevent that from happening.
Mm-hmm.
But stranger things have been discussed.
There's a reason that it's believed in for
yeah.
some, you know,
yeah. Thank
period
you.
Of time.
Thank you for calling in that story and the taco suggestions, or apple grande suggestions, I should clarify.
John Daly here.
You know what day it is? Neither do I. I live life daily. That's why I only spin on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily, and the best part, guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto, America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited, no purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
855-853-4802 is the phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's go to another caller and hear some more ghost stories. Hi.
Hi. So I've never done this before, but I've been listening to the show for a little while, and I think it's kind of fun, interesting to hear stories. And I kind of felt like I wanted to share my story. Do you believe that it had started my interest in the paranormal? I believe once you see something and you really see it, you can't forget it. So, yeah, I don't know. I just want to share. So I grew up in the country, and I spent a lot of time outside playing. And this happened when I was about 8 or 9, but I was sitting out in the field with my cat in my lap, playing in the grass. The cat was asleep. His name was Ginger, and he was the sweetest cat in the entire world. I could pick him up by the hind legs, and he'd probably let me do it. He was just a little teddy bear. So he was sleeping in my lap, and then he started trying to get away. And for me, it just seemed really weird because he never really does that. So I tried to readjust him because I was wondering maybe his tail was crooked or something. And as time went on, like, he just kept getting more and more fidgety, and I couldn't console him. And he started growling, and I've never heard this cat growl since. Like before or since that that event, and it was just really, really unusual. So he freaked out and like got away from me. I couldn't even hold him down. I was trying to keep my kitty with me. But anyway, so I was sitting there, and you know, my 9-year-old mind is like, well, what just happened? Cats are afraid of dogs, right? So maybe there's a dog behind me and it scared the cat. And my neighbors across the field have a Rottweiler. So I figured, you know, the dog came across the field and is standing behind me. And it was dry grass and it was pretty tall. And I was sitting there really quietly and I didn't hear anything come up behind me. But I was convinced there was a dog. So I like took a deep breath and I turned around really slowly because I didn't want to startle the dog because I was afraid maybe it's going to bite me if I go too quickly. So I turned around really slowly. I was sitting Indian style and I turned and I put my hand on the ground and turned my head, and there was not a dog behind me at all. It was like the size of a child, maybe like a five-year-old boy is kind of what it was like. But the thing is that it was all white, and it wasn't see-through or transparent or misty or anything. It was very clearly physically there, and it was had no features, just completely blank and white. And it was standing maybe like a foot and a half behind me, right up behind me, and its arm was reached out toward me, toward my back. And I don't know what the hand was about or anything, but it oh my gosh, when you're a little kid and you're expecting to turn around and see a dog and you see something like that, I was frozen for maybe 3 seconds, felt like 30 seconds. I don't think I knew how to compute what was going on there. So after I froze up for a moment, I got up like a lightning bolt and I ran all the way across the yard and back to the house. And when I got to the house, I stopped and turned around to look, and there was nothing there. There was no trail leading up to behind me. There was nothing that was physically existing on this plane of reality could have possibly snuck up behind me, disappeared that quickly, and then not left any kind of path or any, I don't know. But I used to watch a lot of X-Files when I was younger, and so my first thought was, holy crap, there's an alien. There was an alien behind me. And I ran in the house, and I told my dad and my brother about the alien, and they didn't believe me. And I've told this story, I kind of tell it a lot because I think it's really profound. Because I've experienced that, I know that there's more to this world than I understand. And yeah, I did research on it after the fact and tried to find out if maybe there was a death on the property or like, cause I really felt like it was a little boy, but I couldn't find any information about any kind of murders or accidents or anything. So I don't know. I have to admit I've gone back to that same spot and tried to conjure up that energy again and try to figure out, I don't know, it really got to me. I've never seen it since. I always feel kind of like a presence when I'm out there. It's a really charged area, but I don't know. I'm not a ghost hunter. I'm not a psychic. I don't know any of this kind of stuff. All I know is that I saw a thing, and it was pretty impactful. But anyway, that's my story. Thank you for your time, and I guess it'd be kind of cool if I just got on the radio. All right. Have a good one. Bye.
The only thing I can think of, and maybe he was drawn to the cat, and that's part of the reason the cat just wanted the heck out of there.
Why would it be drawn to the cat? It's like if it was a human ghost, and it's just...
like cats?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I mean, that could be.
Because, I mean, she's done the work. There's nothing mm-hmm. really to allude to why this little boy ghost would be there.
Sure. Just something passing through.
Mm-hmm.
Just kind of being there at one given time. I would make one suggestion, and it's obviously very difficult to know why it's there or how or anything like that, just based on what the information is. But going back and trying to conjure it up or do anything of that nature, I would suggest against that.
Yeah.
Just because you don't really know exactly what it is. And she even said, she's like, I'm not a ghost hunter. True. And that can be a blessing and a curse at the same time. Because mm-hmm. sometimes you have some ghost hunters who throw all caution to the wind and will go way overboard and try and conjure something up, and it doesn't work out very well. And then you have the case of, I'm not a ghost hunter, I don't know what I'm doing. And then you conjure something up as well, and it's not so good either.
And this time you may not be able to just run away.
Yeah. So I would advise against that. But, you know, from what it sounds like, it probably wasn't anything all that horrible, but you just don't know.
Yeah.
And all these years later, it's probably not there anymore. But nonetheless, probably not something you want to, you know, be dabbling around with. 855-853-4802, our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Share your real ghost stories with us. We would love to hear them. Let's go to a caller in Canada. Hi.
Hey, guys. I just want to say I really enjoy your guys' show. Been listening to it for not long, but really enjoy your guys' program. Hear the different stories. But my name's Otter. I'm originally from Saskatchewan, Canada, but I currently reside in Florida now. And growing up, I got to travel a lot. My family, they did a lot of shows. I did a lot of educational programs all over North America. And I'm Native American, by the way. So during these programs and stuff like that, we did a lot of educational performances, talked about our heritage and our culture and so on and so forth. So while I was doing this growing up, I got a chance to go all over the place, just go to different shows, different venues. A lot of these venues, they would put us up at different houses, different chalets, hotel rooms, you know, et cetera, campsites, campgrounds, stuff like that. So, as you know, as Native American and stuff, we're really spiritual people, and I was brought up to be spiritual, and, you know, we believe in spirit, you know, really in spirits, ghosts, you know, different stuff like that, that a lot of people probably don't really think twice about or anything like that, which is fine. I did grow, I had that following. I grew up very spiritual. My mom, she's a very spiritual person. my stepdad, he was very spiritual as well. But so anyways, we would stop at these houses and chalets. So we were doing a show for a theme park in Dollywood, and I believe it was in Pigeon Forge, but it was Dollywood. And when we were doing these shows, they put us up at a chalet like a couple miles from the actual park, which is really, it's really, really beautiful territory up, you know, in Tennessee and stuff. But they put us up at the chalet, and my family, like my entire family, my sisters, I have four sisters and four brothers, and basically a lot of times when I was younger, you know, we would all do these programs. And so anyways, Dollywood, they ended up putting us up at the chalet, and it was a really, really, really nice chalet. Like, you know, it was you know, upstairs, downstairs, it had a basement, had an outside patio, it actually had a jacuzzi, you know, it had a whole bunch of stuff. It was really, really nice. I mean, it looked fairly new. It wasn't like an old house or anything like that. But anyways, a lot of us, the boys stayed in the family and stuff like that. Like, we all stayed down there. And downstairs, there was, like, three bedrooms down there and, like, a bathroom. But there was kind of, like, a living room area downstairs, and that was kind of, like, our area where we would sleep. There was probably about three or four of us that would sleep in that living room area, fold-out couches, you know, whatnot. So my sisters, they were in these individual rooms that were downstairs. And they were all down there, and they all had their own room, and some of them were married, and some of them had boyfriends and stuff like that, so they all got their own room and stuff. Well, one of my sisters was really younger than me. At the time, she was probably about six or seven years old, and she's never had any kind of experiences where she'd wake up in the middle of the night or sleepwalk or anything like that. Like, she never did anything like that. But this house, I mean, when we first got there, it was everybody was really excited, looked really nice. But then there, you know, my mom and some of us, like, we kind of got like these weird, like, really kind of eerie vibes. Like, we were really excited to be in there, you know, just performing there for everybody. But we really did kind of get like this really eerie vibe from this house. And but you know, it is what it is. You know, we say a prayer, and you know, we go on with, you know, the program. You know, we have to stay there for like a month. So anyways, one night, and like certain things would happen in the house, like the radios and stuff like that would be on when we got back to the chalet. Because we all went as a group together. Everybody that was in the house was working at the park. So we would go to this park and then we'd work all day and do our programs and then we'd all come back together. It wasn't really, nobody would ever stay behind. So, you know, when we leave in the morning, we make sure everything's shut off and stuff like that. So we would have, like, some things were turned on and, you know, people would chalk it up to just, you know, we forgot to turn it off. You know, there is, you know, a whole bunch of teenagers and stuff in the house too, you know, kids and stuff. So, you know, sometimes people, you know, forget to leave their things off, you know, stuff. So, one night, mid time, because like I said, we were there doing the shows for maybe about a month or so. And in the middle of that month that we were there, I was sleeping in my bed, and I'm a light sleeper. I'm a very light sleeper. And I can wake up to just anybody, somebody just walking in the room, and I just wake up. And I believe there was three of us that were down there, and we all sleep on this fold-out couches. and we're all sleeping there. It was late. It was like 2, 3 in the morning. And I just remember me waking up. And when I was waking up, my little sister was standing in front of the window that's next to our bed that three of us are sleeping on, okay? And she's standing there, and she's crying, and she just kept saying, "No, I'm not going out there. No, I'm not going to go." And my sister, my older sister, Alana, she actually was to her, and she shut the window. And as I was waking up, she shut the window, and she was like, "Are you okay? Are you okay?" And was trying to hold her and hug her. You know, "Is everything okay? Are you okay? What's going on?" And my sister, my little sister, she was crying like crazy. Like, she was just absolutely, you know, bawling tears. It was absolutely ridiculous. And so anyways, I woke up to that, and I was like, "What is going on? What, you know, what happened?" So that night, we brought her back to our parents' room, and she ended up just sleeping. And then the next morning, she woke up, and she told us everything that had happened. And what had happened was, what she had said was that she woke up, and she was standing in front of that window. And like I said, she never had any kind of experience with sleepwalking or anything. She was, you know, she never did anything like that. It was very, 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 very weird and just out of the blue that she would be sleepwalking at that time. And she said that she had woken up and she was in front of that window. And she could hear somebody outside telling her to come out the window, telling her to come out the window. And so she started crying immediately, and she kept telling that person that was on outside, "No, I'm not going to come out there. No, I'm not going to come out there." And that window, and I'm going to tell you right now, is that we always kept those windows closed because, you know, you're up in Tennessee Mountains. It gets cold up there at night. So we always, every night, we always closed and locked those windows, and we'd lock the doors every night. It was like protocol. You know, we made sure, and we had there's a lot of expensive stuff in there. It was a nice neighborhood. I mean, you know, we weren't worried about anybody breaking in the house or anything, but we did have all of our belongings in that house. We had everything that we owned in that house. So we made sure we locked the windows before we went to bed, before we left the shows, when we came back, everything. You know, those windows usually were never open. And somehow that window was unlocked and that window was open. And I know I did not forget to close those windows. Though basically, we always shut those windows. And she said that voice was coming from outside and it was telling her to come out the window. And then at about that time is when my sister had came in the room. She shut the window and locked the window. And what was really odd with me, what was really odd was that, like I said, I'm a light sleeper, and there was three of us in that bed right there, and not one time did we wake up at all. And that still baffles me today, and it happened several years ago, but you know, she was crying very loud when I woke up. When I woke up, she was crying loud, very loud. And we slept right through it. And we didn't hear her open up that window if she did. We didn't hear that window open. We didn't hear her saying no. We didn't hear her crying. You know, all of us were sleeping. None of us woke up at that time. And I find it really odd that it was like that. But this is one of my many ghost stories that I have. That one was a very odd one for me because I've never, you know, I felt helpless after that. Like I couldn't help my sister, and it was weird. It was just a really weird situation. But that chalet definitely has a few more stories personally with me myself. But I just want to share that one story with you. I really appreciate what you guys do, you know, having everybody come out and basically pour their stories out, because they probably really haven't told a whole lot of people. But, you know, this is real stuff, and I think it needs to get out more. So thank you very much.
You know, he mentioned not being able to hear it, even though he's a light sleeper. Mm-hmm. I think that's a case of that being directed just at the younger sister.
Where it probably wasn't a truly audible sound. It was more so
a message.
Message right there, but appears to be audible to the person hearing it.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder what it sounded like.
I don't know, but it's a good thing she didn't go out there. Who knows what could have happened.
I'm thinking it was probably something along the lines of like a guitar strumming and then, go out your window. Come on out. Do some creepy shit you shouldn't do. Go out your window.
Poor Melissa Etheridge just had her song murdered.
That was horrible.
Mm-hmm.
I should learn how to play guitar.
No.
And actually have one in here with me at all times. And then guitar is too common. Accordion.
That's the worst idea of the year.
Get an accordion. And then I can just start doing songs on the accordion.
No.
I can't play instruments.
Mm-mm.
I've attempted it. When I was drums, I can do okay, not great, but I can do beats.
Okay,
beats I can do, but when it comes to like instrumentation, I'm not tone deaf by any means. I'm not good at knowing where I should be going up and down the scale or anything like that. Because I had to learn how to play the bells. Mm-hmm. Before you could do the drum, and I hated that. That's where, you know, it's essentially like a piano layout. But you got to hit the bells at the right place and follow along with the music, and it's not good.
I'm sure it didn't sound like the Hershey Kisses commercial at all.
It sounded like the Hershey Kisses from hell.
Okay.
It was really bad. And especially, I remember doing, there's another version of bells that I played in my life, believe it or not. you're looking at me like I'm learning so much about my husband.
Yeah.
In church,
uh-huh.
there was bell choir.
Yeah.
And I did that too. And these are actually bells.
Yeah, you know? I've done that before.
Sure. I was bad at that too. And all I had to do was manage two damn bells.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some of the more advanced ones had like, you know, like three or four bells a hand that they, and I'm just like baffled by how these people are following along and they know to, you know, move their wrist around so the right one's like dinging at the right time or picking it up quickly. And some people are great at that shit. I am not one of them. So.
Okay.
It goes back full circle. I'm sorry, everyone. I'm not going to do the accordion or the guitar, even though I just presented the ideas. It's
yeah.
It's not going to work.
No,
out.
It's not going to happen.
Plus, even if I could, I'd probably get shit thrown at me from across the desk.
Yeah, you would.
So, that would be an interesting accordion version of Come to My Window, though, wouldn't it?
That would be the weirdest thing ever.
Somebody's
going to send us that now.
Someone's going to make it and said, if someone makes the accordion version of Come to My Window, I will play it on the show.
Oh, God.
So, there you go. The request is out there. Maybe we'll have multiple ones. We'll have to end up doing like a America's Got Talent, and we have to like vote on which one's the best version.
I'd be out.
Change the lyrics to be ghostly, though. Don't just do a straight cover. Try and get creative with them. That would be an interesting contest. Not just to come to my window, just do a cover song of something, but make the lyrics ghostly and send it in. I don't know.
I just want to apologize to our caller, Otter, for us talking about bells and accordions for the last 6 minutes.
Creepy story.
Yeah, I think something definitely paranormal was going on there.
Well, you know, in areas like that, there's just, you know, the hills, the mountains, that part of the country, there's a lot of history. There's a lot of stuff that went on that, you know, there wouldn't necessarily be that many remnants of anymore either. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't necessarily, I think, have to go back to the property. Because he said it's fairly new. What was there before? Who was there before?
A lot
what was
has
there before?
Happened in Tennessee, so who knows?
Exactly. I mean, I'm envisioning it in a fairly similar atmosphere to where we are,
mm-hmm.
kind of in the mountains, because literally the sister park to that, to Dollywood, is like a mile up the road from where we are, which
right.
is Silver Dollar City, and it's a very, very similar park. And also, we're in the Ozark Mountains here, mm-hmm. So very similar type setting, and a lot of history. You mm-hmm. know, in areas too where houses are, there weren't always before, but other things were.
Sure.
So it's a lot of possibility there. Thank you for calling in. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's go to another caller. Hi.
Hi, Tony. Hi, Jenny. My name is Hank. I live in Newark, Delaware. I'd like to share a story with you guys. I don't know if it's supernatural or paranormal, but I do know that it was kind of weird, but comforting at the same time. Well, here it goes. I dated a guy back in 2011, and the relationship was wonderful. We had fun times together. We talked about just about everything. But as things sometimes happen, you know, it just didn't work out. But we remained friends. While we were in the relationship, he was diagnosed with prostate cancer, and he sought treatment for it and everything. But by then, we had kind of split up, so we weren't in a relationship. But he, you know, went for treatment and stuff, and eventually, you know, the cancer was gone, and you know, things like that. So, but while all this was happening, you know, we kept in contact, whether it was through email or text or phone calls. We didn't completely just, you know, got rid of each other. But fast forward about maybe a year later, we contacted each other again, and we talked, and he said, you know, we should, you know, go out for breakfast and everything. So we did, and that was actually the last time I saw him. So about maybe 5 months after that, the cancer returned, and I had just was thinking about him that day, and I sent him a message, and he told me, yeah, the cancer returned. I was like, oh God. And he said, you know, he's seeking treatment again, and that was that. About a few months after that, I called him again, but he sounded really odd, and he said he'd call me back, and that day never happened. That day never came. He eventually passed. And it was weird because I called him, you know, because again, I was thinking about him, and his voicemail was full. So that was odd right there. I knew something was serious, you know, other than the fact that, you know, he was seeking treatment and things like that. I figured something is more, you know, something's bad is happening. So about an hour later after the phone call, his niece calls me, and he says, you know, he's in the hospital, you know. And I was like, okay. So eventually I was going to go up there probably the next day, but later on that day she calls back and she tells me he passed. And it was a shock. It was really, really shocking, because I'd never dealt with anybody that I dated passing away. And so it was really new to me. It was shocking and just sad, just downright sad. So but later on that night, I had this burning sensation on it was on the palm of my hand, but it was on the left side of the palm. I can't even explain this correctly, but it was below the pinky. This area was like kind of burning and itchy before. And what's so weird about it is because the guy, you know, that passed, the guy I dated, he had this red patch on the same hand, the same area as I had the burning. And I'm not sure if that it sounds so crazy, but I'm not sure if that was his way of saying goodbye, because he never called me back, because he ended up passing before he got to. And I never really got a chance to say goodbye to him and things like that. So I don't know if that was his way of maybe reaching out, saying, hey, I'm here. I'm sorry. I didn't call you back that time. I don't know. But it was really odd, and I have since had that problem. Prior to that, I haven't had that problem, and since then, I haven't had that problem. So that's why I'm kind of linking it to possibly him reaching out, saying, hey, I'm sorry, I'm still here, that kind of thing. But anyway, I want to know what you guys think, and please, I hope I didn't sound crazy or, out of it, but just my thoughts, and I'd like to hear what your thoughts are. And I love the show. Love, love, love the show. But if you can, please, I'd like some feedback. Thanks, and you guys take care. Bye.
I think a lot of times they, meaning our friends and loved ones that have passed on, try to come back and give us some kind of definite sign that it's them, that mm-hmm. it's like it makes no sense for it to be anybody else. And with the thing you mentioned about the hand, that's kind of like, I don't know how to explain it. It's kind of like when you watch those medium shows and they're like, I'm seeing something about a hand, and it makes sense. Mm-hmm. It just makes sense that it's specific to that person.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's exactly what it was. It's a very specific sign and a very specific way or form that only you would know what it means or who it is, and that's how they're able to communicate, because they're not able to just, write a Hallmark card or something. Hey, it's me. It's how can I do this in a sign? And again, you got to take, the verbality out of it. They can't just say who they are. They need something quick and easy to show you that they are there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's exactly what it was.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's anything more, anything less. It's a very common thing to have happen. It's just interesting because the sort of signs that people get like this vary quite a bit, because
mm-hmm.
it's very specific to that person. So I think that's what you had.
Mm-hmm.
You had somebody coming back and letting you know that they were on the other side and that they're okay. So thank you for sharing that experience with us, and thanks for the kind words and being a listener of our show.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps, in line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
855-853-4802 is our phone number. Let's go to a caller in Oregon. Hi.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. My name is Rebecca. I'm calling from Eugene, Oregon. I hope I'm coming through okay. I'm just calling you guys on my way back to work because I recently discovered that I had experienced something paranormal, and I thought that I had never experienced a paranormal experience before. So, yeah. Well, I guess I'll start off by saying that my grandpa, my paternal grandfather, he died before I was born, and I never got to meet him. But I heard a lot about him. I heard he was a really good man and that he cared about his family a lot. And when I was young, I'd say from the time when I was like a little baby to maybe 6 or 7 years old, my parents would drop me off at my grandma's house, and they would go on a date night, And I had a lot of really good times at my grandma's house, and she spoiled me for sure. She actually got me this Furby, and I'm sure we all know Furbies, but for those who don't know, I don't know about the new model of Furby because apparently that's come back. But the old Furbies, they didn't have an off switch. You could either turn them off by taking the batteries out, or you would just have to let them sit for a while and they would just shut down. And they would wake back up if you if you touched them. And so I remember one night when I was really young, like let's say 5 or 6. I was playing with my Furby before bed, and I couldn't get it to shut up. And I was trying and trying, and I would just leave it, and it still wouldn't shut up. So I just decided to stick it in the closet, and that would be that. And so I went to sleep, and I remember this so vividly. In the middle of the night, it just started making noise, and it started saying, like, play with me, like, all those things that Furbies do. And, like, it woke me up, it startled me, but I didn't really think anything of it, because I was, like, a little kid. So time passes. I'm 21 now, and my grandma died in 2009. And recently, my dad told me that my grandma believed that my grandpa's ghost was haunting her house. And when I was going over there, I had no idea. I'm sure he didn't want her to tell me because, you know, he doesn't really believe in that stuff. And I didn't even know that my grandma believed in that until after she had passed. But yeah, I recently found out that she believed that my grandpa's spirit was haunting our house. And she suddenly said that she felt it was a protective spirit and that we didn't have anything to worry about. But he also told me that she said that he liked to move things around in that closet, the closet in my old room. And I finally put two and two together and I realized maybe it was him who triggered the Furby in the middle of the night and woke me up. Kind of funny. And I really wish that I had been able to talk with my grandma about this stuff before she died, but, you know, things just happen the way they do. So I thought that was kind of cute and nice. I love your show. I listen to it while I'm at work. It makes the time fly by. Thanks. Keep up the good work. Bye.
I think that's pretty funny that he's making a Furby make noise.
I guess it's, you know, it's Furby.
Yeah.
But it's like anything that you can somehow manipulate to get your message across.
Mm-hmm.
Although Furbies are, did you ever have a Furby?
No, I always thought they were creepy.
They don't really, I mean, I remember they used to say, oh, if you can teach it to talk after, you know, you talk to it long enough. I had one and I tried to use it as a co-host.
Okay.
This is the first round of Furbies in like 1998-ish.
Okay.
And it was like the toy of the year. Mm-hmm. That everyone had to have. And so we were giving it away at the end of the week, but I tried to use it as a co-host for a week. It just said a lot of nonsense.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of like me saying a lot of nonsense,
uh-huh.
But it was on the other side.
Okay.
That's how that worked out. Then we gave it away eventually. And it was given away to a man who, it was like, what would you do for a Furby? I believe is what we did the contest as. Probably not the best of ideas anymore today, but this was before, you know, people, I think all the what would you do contest ended after that one guy had the woman drink like so much milk she died.
It was water.
Or water, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
This was the gentleman came in and he swallowed 150 minnows.
Oh, that's so gross.
Alive.
Why did you have him do that?
Because that's what they gave me. It wasn't my choice as to who was doing what. I was just hosting the show, and it was our management who fielded all of the requests. Or like, here, I'll do this, I'll do that, and they discuss. They picked this one as the most extreme.
So you weren't responsible for this?
No, okay. No. They're like, hey, here's your guy. I'm like, what are you gonna do? and he comes out and he does the. He has like a giant bucket. You know, of minnows. And there's a bait shop right down the road. I mean, the town we lived in was on a lake. So there's a lot of bait shops. And they just went down there. Dutch's Trading Post got himself 150 minnows. And he just took several cups. He just, you know, he took like a Dixie cup or maybe a little bit bigger and dipped it into the bucket and got the minnows in there. And he just downed the...
That is disgusting.
Downed them. Alive.
God.
I can't imagine how that must feel.
No.
In one stomach. I mean, because they're still going to be swimming for a bit, you know.
Yeah.
Or at least wiggling around or something. I would think that'd be insanely dangerous, but that's what they did. And he won the Furby.
Okay.
What would you do for a Furby?
Not that.
Yeah. So there you go.
Okay.
Was that the most disturbing thing you've heard all
that's
day?
That's going to be on my mind all day.
All right. There you go. I don't actually.
I don't.
I don't think I do anyway.
Okay.
855-853-4802 is our phone number. Let's go to Teresa in New York. Hi.
Hi, Tony. Hi, Tony and Jenny. This is Teresa. I'm calling from New York. This is my second time calling. I love you guys. I listen to your podcast while I'm working. I work remotely, so you guys help keep me company. I plan to become an EPP soon. So the story I have is actually passed down from my sister to me. This happened to her when she had her first child. She was a very young mother, and her husband worked nights at the time. So she was kind of overworked and stressed out with the feedings, the typical feedings that the infants require. So she was particularly exhausted one evening. She had a little cold. She wasn't feeling that great. The baby had woken her up a few times. You know, she got up, fed the baby, went back to sleep. So at about like 4-ish, she hears a baby crying. She's about to get up, drag herself out of bed. She's so wiped out. She looks over and she sees standing at the foot of the crib my grandmother, who had passed away 2 years prior. My grandmother's standing there, puts her hand down and says, "No, no, go back to sleep. Go back to sleep. I'll take care of her." So my sister thinks she's dreaming, rubs her eyes, shakes her head. Grandmother's still standing there. Grandmother picks up the baby and starts feeding her the bottle. My sister is overcome with exhaustion, falls back asleep. And the next day, she sleeps through the rest of the night. The next day, she wakes up, the baby's fine. And she tells my mom the story, who, you know, it was the, that grandmother was my mom's mother, so it was on my mom's side. So she tells my mom the story. My mom said she had similar sightings within that 2 year time frame that my grandma passed away. And it always seemed to be in times of stress or anxiety or exhaustion where she appeared and just comforted my mom, who was very, very close to her mother. So this story was passed down. We all tell it from time to time. I think it's pretty cool. And I always love to hear stories about loved ones coming back for visits. I think my sister really experienced this. I don't think it was a dream or any of that stuff. She's very sensible, and from the way she explained it to us several times, I think it happened. I mean, I believe my grandmother really was helping her. So anyway, wanted to know what your thoughts were on loved ones visiting in a lovely manner, in a way where they came and maybe gave a piece of advice or help or basically made you know everything was okay or going to be okay. I'd appreciate that. Love you guys. Talk to you soon. Thanks.
I think that definitely happens, like, all the time. And I think sometimes we don't realize, we just attribute it to, like, exhaustion of being a new mother or illness or something else. But I think it happens more than we realize.
Yeah, I agree. I think there's a lot of interaction with paranormal that we write off. Because it's easier, and it's not that people are trying to write it off. It's just, it's not that. Or, you know, it doesn't even come to mind as it being paranormal, especially if you're a new mom or there's something else. If it's nothing to do with the child, it's something that's very much distracting in your life that you just kind of, you know, move over it because that's not, you know, socially the normal, you know, explanation for anything.
Yeah.
But at times I think it really is, especially when you end up looking back and going, you know, the odds of all this happening that way or that happening this way, not so great. Maybe there was something else involved there. Sometimes it's glaring and obvious. Sometimes it takes a little more dissecting the situation. But I agree. I think it does happen. Thank you for sharing that experience with us here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Of course, your phone number 855-853-4802. If you like the show, help keep us on the air. Become an EPP. Sign up at ghostpodcast.com. That's where you can access all 100-some bonus episodes. Gosh, by the time this airs, we're getting closer to the 110 mark.
We are.
We're getting there. So if you want all those bonus episodes, exclusive video content, and more stuff, even Too Scary for Jenny, We should do a section like that on there.
Too scary for Jenny.
Too scary for Jenny. Like the videos and pictures and stuff. It's the too scary for Jenny section.
That's everything.
Well, it's not the stories.
Not the stories, but pictures and videos.
Yeah, that'd be funny.
Okay.
That'd be good. All right, check it out, ghostpodcast.com. Help keep us on the air. It's only $5 a month for the membership. Get all that bonus stuff. And like I said, that's what fuels the show and keeps this thing alive. So if you like it, contribute and help us keep going. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.
John Daly here. You know what day it is? Neither do I. I live life daily. That's why I only spin on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily. And the best part? Guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto. America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Lots of places can expose you to identity theft. That's why LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity, which is way more than anyone can do on their own. If we find anything suspicious, like new loans or changes to your financial accounts, we alert you right away, all through text, phone, email, or the LifeLock app. Save up to 40% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Here's the truth. You could literally be adored by everyone and then come home and still get completely ignored by your own cat. It's classic cat behavior. But new Shiba Premium Puree is a lickable treat that changes all that. They're protein-rich, made with bone broth, and have the smooth, creamy texture cats go crazy for, especially when it's hand-fed. Yeah, it's more than a treat. It's a fast pass to favorite human status. So feed your cat Shiba and go from totally ignored to truly adored in just 12 days, guaranteed, or your money back. Learn more at Shiba.com.